Good morning. Are you sure? Let's try that again. Good morning. That's better. I'm like, you said it like you weren't sure it was a good morning. You're trying to figure out, am I sitting in the cold spot of the church or the hot spot? Let me just tell you this. If you're sitting on the outside edges, you're right underneath the vents. That's the cool spot. If you're cold and you want to be a little bit warmer, move to the inside. That is our thermostat control. You big it up and you move. You get up, that's how we do that. So it's good to have you here. Happy Mother's Day. Now, the fathers, you shouldn't have said thank you. So it's a mothers, we thank you for all that you've done. For those of you who are mothers, who have been mothers or may have lost a child, or for those of you who have a mother, and which all of you have, unless there's a test tube person here, but all of you've got a mother somewhere or another, but we're glad for all the mothers, and we're thankful for you and the blessings that you give. You've imparted stuff to us. My mom is in the house, so I would tell her to stand up, but I'm not going to do that. You just wave at them, so there you go. That's my mom. Do not speak to her after the service and ask her if anything I've said about my life is true or not, because she will contradict everything that I've ever said, more than likely. But she'll probably give you more than you asked for about how bad her son was growing up. So anyway, we are in a message series that is called No More Words, and we are in the last message of that series. And what we've been talking about is the transition from a devotional time with God to a devotional life with God. And we've been talking about the transition of a devotional time. A devotional time is when we spend time with God, in our personal time with God, in our prayer life, in our Bible study, in our devotional time, in our meditation time, and God transforms us during that time that we're with Him in our devotional time. But then He calls us to move from our devotional time to a devotional life. And through a devotional life, God will use us and work through us to transform the world. Now, if we stay in our devotional time, if we stay in the Scriptures, which is not a bad place to be, if we stay in our prayer life and we stay in our meditation and we stay in our devotional life, God will continue to transform us. But there's some aspects of what is He transforming you for? And what is He transforming you to do? And we have to get up and move out and be a devotional life so that others may experience the transformational change in their lives as well, so they can be a part of this movement. One of the things that the last subject or last point that we're going to cover is that in the path to move from a devotional time to a devotional life of God, the last thing we have to do is move forward and live for God. Turn to your neighbor and say, we got to move forward. See, because you can't stay where you are and get where you're going, unless where you are is where you want to be. Do you understand that? So you got to move to get where you're going. The path to devotional life, we believe, it can be summed up in the Great Commission. Now, it's called a Great Commission. It's in Matthew 28. It says, therefore, this is Jesus speaking. He says, it says, Jesus came to them and said, so He came to His disciples. He came to those devoted followers, those devoted people that were called disciples, those people who said, I'm going to take on your teachings into my life and apply them into my life. I'm going to try to live a life that would be pleasing to you, Jesus. I want to follow you, serve you. I want to trust you as my Savior. That is really what many of us in the church today have said. That's what we want to be. We want to be a disciple. We don't just be a cheerleader for Jesus. We want to be a disciple. Now, we're at various stages of being a disciple. Some of us are in the very early stages. Some of us are just kicking the tires on this car, if you will, and checking it out to see if this is really what we want. So we're at some stage of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Everyone in this room is at a stage of that. You may be at a place in your life right now where you're like, I don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. I just can't commit to that right now. And that's okay, but that's a stage. That's a early part of the stage. And get this, everyone who is a fully devoted disciple of Jesus Christ was at that stage at one time. Every one of the disciples, the original 12, every one of the apostles, were at that stage at some time where I'm just not sure. I'm just not sure if that's everything that you say you are. I'm just not sure. And part of it is not sure about who Jesus says He is or who the Scripture says He is, but also about my belief in who Jesus says I am. Because many of us aren't confident in who we are in many of our aspects of our lives. We're not confident about the things that Jesus says of what we can do or what God says through the Scriptures of who we can be. We might spend time in a devotional time with God where He's trying to transform us, but we're not 100% confident that stuff is good when we leave and go out into the world. It sounds good in church on Sunday. It sounds good in our prayers on every morning or before a meal. It sounds, bless us, guide us, direct us. But then when we go out, it's like, I'm not sure He's going to do it. Now, I'm not sure if you're in that position, but I struggle with that sometimes. And we listen to this thing. It says, then Jesus came to them. Jesus is talking to this group of disciples who are just like us. And He says this, all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Now, here's what I want to sort of convey to you to begin with this morning. He starts this out by saying, all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Now, Jesus is saying this. Now, I don't know if He's just trying to make Himself look good to everybody. I'm not sure. But there's something that's happened that's significant. Before He gives the instructions of what He wants His disciples to do, what He wants the disciples of today and this generation to do, He makes this statement, all authority in heaven and earth have been given to me. Which means He can do with it what He likes. He can do with it what He wants. He's making sure that you know there is an authority in heaven, and that's been given to Him. And there's an authority on earth that's been given to Him. Both of those places have been given, the authority have been given to Him. Now, you and I, we're not in heaven yet. We're on the earth part, but He's like, that authority, I've got that too. Now, you may think that's not a big deal, but it really is a big deal. It is a big deal that He has the authority, that He's willing to share it with us. He goes, therefore, go and make disciples. He starts out, all authority has been given to me on heaven, in heaven and on earth. And because of that, I'm giving you some of that authority. So go and make disciples. And then He goes on to say, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Here's a question. How can He tell you how to baptize in each of those three? He's only the Son. He's saying, I want you to go baptize in the name of the Father. And I want you to baptize in the name of the Son. And I want you to baptize in the name of the Holy Spirit. Three different parts. But Jesus is only the Son. See, He's been given authority. He's been given authority to do or to say these things from above Him. Someone above Him or something which we believe is God of the universe has given Him authority to say and teach and do the things He's teaching and doing and saying to these disciples and who He's saying or what He's saying to each one of us. And He says, go and make disciples. Now, I want to tell you this thing about authority. Now, I am an elder in the United Methodist Church. And in the United Methodist Church, when you become an elder in this thing, it's a long process. It's a process of training. It's a process of teaching. It involves seminary for some people. It involves a lot of study, a lot of writing, a lot of stuff on theology, a lot of stuff on the Methodist doctrine, just a lot of stuff. Training on people, personalities, and things like this. And to be an elder in the Methodist Church, and I know your dad's also an elder in the Methodist Church, we have to go through, and when we are become an elder, the bishop, who is, but there's a bishop of our conference. He has the authority of the whole conference. And there's other councils of bishops, or the council bishop, they have the authority of the whole Methodist system in the whole world. And that has been conveyed upon them over the years and over elections and votings and discernments and all these things. But during that ceremony, or that worship service where they consecrate me or consecrated me to be an elder, the bishop will take his hands and will lay them, he laid them over me. And he says, take you the authority of the church. And he touches you, places his hands on you, signifying that the authority that's been given to him
has now been transferred to me. But that doesn't make me the bishop. That doesn't mean I can go out and do whatever it is bishops do. But I have been given some part of responsibility and authority to do things on behalf of the Methodist Church. One of those things is I can serve and consecrate the elements for Holy Communion. In our denomination, it's a sacrament. So the communion is a sacrament. So I've been given the authority to make sure that I handle those with the reverence and the love and the blessing of those elements or the material to give to others. Now, other people can serve it, but the bishop has given me authority. Now, when I do communion on Sundays here, we go through the liturgy and we pray over it, and then I have other people serve communion with me, which means I've given them part of that authority. You tracking with me? That allows them to do that. I also have the authority to baptize on behalf of the United Methodist Church. So I can sprinkle people if they want to be sprinkled. I can pour water on them. I can immerse them. We believe in all three of those means of baptism. I have never baptized anybody with a water gun, but I'm not opposed to it. We could try that if somebody was up for that, but Lindsay, when you were baptized, she was one of those that we baptized, and we weren't thinking about water temperature. We were over the Marriott, and I just remember this, and I just took a garden hose from outside from the spigot and brought it into the building and filled up the big trough for her to be baptized in. And I think, what time of the year was that?
It was early April.
And I don't know about if you've ever just taken a garden hose of water and filled up a bathtub and got into it, but that's pretty cold. And I didn't put any warm water in it and all. And so poor Lindsay, we got ready to do the baptism service, and she stepped in and started shaking like this. It was. So now we've learned through that process, put some hot water in there and warm that water up for her. So she was the first one that couldn't. You held your breath because you was just shaking the whole time down. Everybody thought you was filled with the Holy Spirit, and it was just really 32-degree water. Water was what it was. But we have the authority to do that. I also, because of that, they've given me authority because the state of Georgia, the country of the United States, has tracked or seen how this denomination, and as well as other denominations, train our people to do marriages. So now I'm also been given the authority to perform weddings on behalf of the state of Georgia or on behalf of the nation of the United States. Did you know that? Now, you could go do it. Thomas, you could go marry somebody. But that